Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning with God, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and it's good to be here one more time. He allowed us to come together one more time, so thank God that we're able to get into the perfect law of liberty, and that is none other than the Word of God, the Hebrew canon. Amen. Genesis to Malachi, amen. Matthew to Revelation, amen. 39 in the old books, that is, in the Old Covenant or Old Testament, and 27 in the New, amen. 1,189 chapters in the Bible. Thank God that we're here. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing. Amen. To know that there is one God. There's only one Spirit. And there's one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through you, through all and in you all. This is the quote out of the book of Ephesians 4, the fourth chapter, 4, 5, and 6. And, of course, he's talking to people that are already saved. So these letters or these epistles were written to people that already have experienced the new birth, that is, being born again. They've repented of their sins and been baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and have been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gives them to utter. That is called the new birth, being born of water and of the Spirit. So thank God for that word that he gave to the apostles. So we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, Ephesians 2 and 20. So that's why these words that he said unto the church after he rose from the dead, he was on the earth showing himself in many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Before he ascended back on high, he said unto them, Luke 24 and 44, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. In another verse, St. John 5:39, Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Talking about the Scriptures. So he said unto them, "Thus it is written." So he opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. "Thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Ye are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." He led them out as far as to Bethany and lifted up his hands and blessed them. It came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. They worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. And this is the writer Luke writes here. So you got to have the new birth. That's what it's all about. About the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the ascension. Amen. And he's going to appear to take the church out of here, the born-again believers. And he's coming back. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Like we were talking on last week out of the book of the Revelation, and then a week before that out of the book of Isaiah. So there are so many events are going to happen, going to come to pass shortly, as John the writer said. So it behooves us to not just take my word for it, but to get in the Scriptures. So I love to do this. I got saved in Bible class. So much getting ready to go on. So much deception going on. People are preaching the prosperity gospel. Not saying you don't have to be broken begging, as some people are, and don't have anything. But you got to labor with your hands. In one way or another. Find out what your gift is. It's so sad nowadays. Just a different world than it was 30, 40 years ago in my generation. I'm a 50s baby, born in the 50s. So I have already worked a job for 30 years and retired from that job. So I'm able to do other things. So some would say, try to call you lazy and all of that. I'm reaping what I sowed. I'm a retiree from General Motors. They don't love me. They're not giving me anything, but I worked for it, and it was negotiated. So I thank God for that, for strength. I'm blessed to be able to do that. I was blessed to be able to do that because your life is on the line when you're traveling and you're working, and I raise my children and my family. And my sons, my five sons, and their mother passed away almost 2 years ago. So many dangers, toils, and snares have already come. So God is great, and he's greatly to be praised. So there's so much going on. Like I said, so much deception. There is a new show getting ready to debut in October, on next month, called The Preachers of L.A. It's going to be on the Oxygen Channel. I was kind of looking at some of that stuff today online. So some people think that gain is godliness. This is what Apostle Paul told his son Timothy in the gospel: from such turn away. They supposing that gain is godliness. He wanted to let him know that godliness with contentment is great gain. It's not contingent upon what you have and what you don't have. So you can get whatever you want, whatever your money will buy you. But that's not how you measure your godliness or your relationship with God, by the things that you possess. That's why Jesus says a man's life consists not in the things which he possess. So that people try to knock other people and call them broke, but they're broken begging. So I mean, that's a lot of nerve to do those kinds of things. But you got to work for yourself. You're going to reap what you sow. So I said a long time ago, I'm not going to be pimped or hustled by nobody. So you got to make up your mind that be the case. So you got to know what the word of the Lord says. So this so-called sowing seed foolishness is out of the hellhole itself. They keep talking about sow a seed. The Bible does not tell you to do that. But the Bible talks about tithe and giving, or it's a free will offering. They take the chapter out of Isaiah. It says there's rain and the snow coming down from heaven that it may bring water the earth, that make it to bring forth and the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. That's literally talking about a farmer getting seed so he could plant. Literally talking about bread that you can eat. So he's talking about, he uses an analogy. So shall my word to go forth out of my mouth, not returning to me void, shall accomplish the thing that I sent it, and prosper that which I please. So it's too late. I mean, I done been tricked before. You know, one time, this so-called prophet, everybody pay $60. Your bills will be paid for 3 years. They'll be paid if you pay them. So that's a lie out of hell. And so you stand up, you're not going to be looked at too friendly, because they come up with another lie. People were racing to get up there, because I did it myself. And this was years ago. So that's foolishness. Then you got all kinds of people on TV, got different offerings that they trying to tell you that God told them to call up and sow this seed and all that. That is a lie out of hell. They're just hustling you out of your money. So that's not what the word, that's not what the gospel is all about. But you freely receive, you freely give. Like I said, the tenth is the Lord's, and the free will offering. Whatever you purpose in your heart to give, the Bible says, so let him give. So not of necessity, but God loveth a cheerful giver. So we just have to be so careful, because Jesus said, and it trumps everything that Jesus said, trumps everything else that everybody else is lying and said, the Lord told me this and the Lord told me that. No, if it ain't according to your word, God didn't tell you. You could take that lie back to hell where you got it from. But what Jesus says trumps what everybody say. That is, he said, take heed that no man deceive you. So you got to search the scriptures and know what the word of the Lord says, and you don't have to be fooled by nobody. So here, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? This psalm is crying out. This is a psalm of David. A couple of questions he asked. He's going to answer them himself. He that walketh uprightly, worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. So we just have to be so careful. So the main thing, your heart got to be right when you walk with God. So you can't be. The devil has so many people deceived. You have to be out of your mind to know that if you a fornicator or you an adulterer, you're wasting your time being a hypocrite. I mean, that makes no sense. You are in sin when you're doing that. So you got to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So what the writer says in the book of Ephesians, when he wrote to the church at Ephesus, he says, redeeming the time for the days are evil. So you're watching what you're doing. So people don't like it when you fight a devil off. You got to, whatever venue you're in, you got to do what you have to do. If you're in court of law, dealing with landlord, tenant, whatever you're dealing with, you got to have a lawyer. You got to know how to fight in that avenue. Same way it is if you're in a divorce court or whatever you're doing, you got to know how to fight. You got to have a mediator. You got to have a attorney. You got to have a lawyer. You got to have a daysman, as we would say, a go-between. You got to have a representative. You got to have counsel. So these things God did not have. So that's what a writer I love about the book of Isaiah said. It talks about Lord, you know, who's been his counselor or who counseled him or advised him, you know, talking about the Lord. Nobody did. He didn't take counsel from nobody. So this is why Apostle Paul was saying, not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God has chosen the foolish things to confound the wise, that no flesh shall glory in his presence. He didn't say not any wise. He said not many. Apostle Paul was an exception himself because he was a learned man. He was a very educated man. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you know who a fool is? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's in Psalms, and that's also in the book of Romans. So that's what the fool has said, that there is no God. So that's the, you know, the agnostics and atheists and all these different people, they're going to have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So that's foolishness. You don't, we can't figure out the origin of something, then we don't want to believe it. So that's why I'm still teaching, excuse me, on the Godhead. So I'd just like to take time to give out the call-in number, 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. Should you desire to call in or have a question or have a comment, 646-716-6566. Also, I'd like to thank all my Twitter followers, all of my Facebook friends and followers, all my Blog Talk friends and followers, and also all the many LinkedIn friends and followers. God bless you in the name of Jesus. It's good for you to be on board in this ministry called Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. And then I also know others who are friends of mine who are on Blog Talk Radio. And also one of my natural brothers who was the one that told me back in 08, I believe it was, about Blog Talk Radio. So it's a blessing to have this tool, to be able to use it. And today I was even talking to an attorney about a matter that I had that's closed now, a landlord-tenant matter, and I mentioned about I had to get back because I got to do my Blog Talk Radio. He'd never heard of it. So I said, as much popular as Blog Talk Radio is to some, and he happens, he is a Facebook listener, and he's actually a friend of mine on Facebook, and I believe he's on LinkedIn also. So there are those that still have not heard about Blog Talk Radio. And there are those that have, because I listen to satellite radio, XM that is, Sirius XM. It used to be XM before Sirius and XM merged, so now they call it Sirius XM. Then as time went on, some shows that you listen to, I had found out some of them know people on Blog Talk Radio. So I'd heard mention of it on there. So thank God for it. So we've been, we thank God for his word. We thank God that we're living in such a day as we are. So some countries don't have the liberty that we have in America. And you ever go to Canada, because I am from the Metro Detroit area, and you go to Canada, and those people in Canada, one thing they say about us, they say, oh, yeah, that's back in the States. One thing about those Canadians, they realize that we are not united. As we say, the United States of America, they refer to the United States as the States, because they know we're not united. So we should cut that foolishness out. We need to get united, but we are not united as we ought to be. So I just thank God to be here in these last days. And this is my 37th year of walking with the Lord. I got saved in August of 1976. And so I know Hell itself hates for me to say that. And so some of these hypocritical people that think they know everything and got you figured out and labeled you and put your name out as evil and said you were in sin or whatever, I got the victory in the name of Jesus. God saved me. He didn't save me to wither, float away or to be defeated. One of our late bishops preached a series of messages, I am not defeated. This is the, oh, no, this is not a fly-by-night or a fad, but Peter says about the word of the Lord, which endureth forever. He saved us to be saved forever. He gave us the earnest of the Spirit, which is the purchased possession. He gave us the Holy Ghost to abide with us. He said, even the Spirit of truth, whom the word, he dwelleth with you and shall be with you. He's gonna guide you into all truth. He came to abide with us forever. So I got power over the devil, and I tell, like this one evangelist that's going on to be with the Lord, say, I like to tell the devil where to go. In other words, devil, go back to hell. Get away from me in the name of Jesus. So you got to realize who you are. If somebody can't make a fool out of you, they're mad about it. But see, you might as well get on the Lord's side, because you're on the losing side. Because the devil will make a fool out of you, because he hates every last one of us. That's what I marvel at. People don't even know that. The devil will have you to believe a lie and have you hating someone, but he hates you too. He hates us all. So how foolish is that? How stupid is that? So thank God for the truth. Just like Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He that followeth me, Jesus said, he shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of the world. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so that definitely what we are endeavoring to talk about. So we've talked about some dreadful, horrible things on last week out of the book of the Revelation. These things are going to happen. So I've heard, I listen to talk radio. There's nothing better than to get information. So God wants us to be balanced, body, soul, and spirit. So you read, you get information, be it from the if you get it from television, if you get it from talk radio, it really makes you think. Or if you get it from text that you read, be it magazine, newspaper, or over the internet, it behooves us to get information. It behooves us to know what is going on as people, and definitely as people of God, we definitely need to know what is going on. So in listening to information, I'm told, because you know we have a global economy, that overseas they have 30 to 40 trillion dollars that is not even in circulation overseas or offshore, wherever it is and wherever that is that they're talking about. So you listen to me on a regular basis, you realize there's some things are my pet peeves that I talk about, but they're so very important. And you know how they say money is the root of all evil. No, the love of money is the root of all evil. How Jesus says you can't serve two masters. You hate one and cleave to the other. You hold to one and you despise the other. He says you cannot serve God and mammon, and mammon is money. That's why God is going to bring the system down. So some of those things that we were reading about on last week, that's why they're going to curse God. They're going to say to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. For the great day of his wrath has come. Who shall be able to stand? Remember we talked about the shipmasters and all that? They're going to realize God is bringing it down, because people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. They think money, they can do whatever they want if they have the money. And so bribes and all this stuff that people are paying judges and paying bribes and all that. All you got to do is read in the Old Testament. The same stuff was going on back then. Lying and stealing and bribes was going on. Some people just sit and smile and take money from people. I mean, you need to get a job. That is how you make a living. Everyone, God has given people gifts and talents, for not for nobody to pimp or hustle nobody. People, there are women pimps that are pimping people, excuse me, pimping men, and vice versa, and all kinds of people. And then the drug thing, that is totally horrible. Got these people all hooked on this stuff and addicts, and they're making money, and it's a monkey. As we say, that's a monkey on your back, but God can get the monkey off of your back. You don't want to be addicted to nothing. You are really a slave, be it alcohol or whatever. There's alcoholics, there's winos, there's potheads, there's all kinds of addictions and things that people are addicted to. And it's a lot of sick people. They're mentally ill. They really need help. So this is what Jesus came to do, to bind up the brokenhearted, set at liberty to our bruised, preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Whatever shape you're in, he came. If you're high and mighty, he came to bring you down off of your high horse. If you're low and bummed out, he came to lift you up out of the dung hill. If you got a high mind, he came to bring you to lower your mind, to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, to listen to him. So it doesn't matter what, every mountain is going to be made low. The crooked is going to be made straight. The rough places are going to be made vain. Rough places are going to be made plain. The valleys are going to be exalted. Crooked is going to be made straight. And every valley is going to be exalted, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So there is good news. He came to save sinners from their sins. So sometimes the person that will try to hurt you the worst is the person that is the closest to you, that you open up your heart. That's not the right spirit to do those kinds of things. I mean, what we used to do before we got saved, that's why God came to save sinners. This is why Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Apostle Paul said, of whom I am chief. That's why he came, to save sinners. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. So it matters not what you did when you were a sinner. Matter of fact, that is a testimony to be able to help someone else that may be in the same shape. So it doesn't even matter if you didn't drink, you didn't smoke. Some self-righteous people, they think because they're not doing nothing morally, that they're not committing adultery or fornication or slipping around on their husband or their wife or whatever, they're all right, but they got an anger problem. They're thinking about killing. They hate. They're mad at the world. I mean, that's no good. Some people are thieves. People have all kinds of issues going on. So it behooves us, look at yourself. So get yourself right, because you're not going to just go to heaven anyhow. Matter of fact, you're not going to even be raptured away. If you're not born again, you're not going nowhere. You left the rest of the dead, live not again till the 1,000 years were fulfilled. This is the first resurrection. So you want to get up in the first resurrection. Not the second resurrection. You're going to stand before the great white throne judgment. That means your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life. You don't want to appear there. Dead, small, and great. Going to stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. So you don't want to be there, but the church is being judged now. The time has come, Peter said, that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it begin at us, what shall the end of those that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, Peter says, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? So you just got to be ever so wise and not knocking people, but trying to help people. And this is what the Lord, the will of God is for us, to persuade men to come and live for the Lord. And so that quote, what I was just reading, he said, so he's talking about things that people are going through and all that. So, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. So I can say that myself. I'm not surprised because some devil is lying on me. Because the devil is going to use people. He don't care if you're ugly, you're pretty, or how you look. He was looking for some lying tongue, somebody to open their mouth and utter a lie. That means they're a tool used by the Satan. So he says, but rejoice. He says, so in other words, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may also be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. So here he goes on, he gives us some admonition. He admonishes us about what we shouldn't do in the process. And he goes on to say, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. You think I'm going to be ashamed because somebody's lying on me? I'm not hunting down a lie. But on the other hand, some lies you got to front, face off. You got to smash some lies, because some lies, they're trying to get in your pocket. Some people, they would tell any kind of lie to get a few dollars. But you got to fight that off in the name of Jesus. And I'm not scared to do that. So he says, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Remember what I said, a child of God, born again, we're going through our judgment now. That's why we're going to be raptured away. We're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the rewards for the deeds done in our body. That's what we're going to receive. We're not going to stand before the white throne judgment, the great white throne. That's a whole other thing. You don't want to be there. Those people are going to get up after the 1,000 years are fulfilled in the second resurrection. You want to be raptured away in the first resurrection. So he says, the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, not everybody, us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? So he says, what shall the end be of those that obey not the gospel of God? A question. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Another question. I'll tell you where they're going to appear. At the great white throne judgment, just what I just said. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Remember, I believe it was week before last, we were talking about, has thou not known, has thou not heard, that the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainted not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, them that have no mighty, increase the strength, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. But remember, the part that I want to key in on is where Isaiah 40 and 31 and maybe the verse up before that, because I'm not looking at it right now verbatim, but he says he's the creator of the ends of the earth. He fainteth not, neither is he weary. So in other words, he never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's the eternal God. He's our refuge. Underneath his wings is everlasting strength. He's the omnipresent spirit. He's the one that always was. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. We can't understand that. He's a spirit. You can't see him. Amen. He's everywhere and every place. Leave you, come to you, and ain't going nowhere. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth. He sees everything. He's got the all-seeing eye. He knows. He already declared the end from the beginning. So he knows what is going to happen. So it behooves us to be honest. So if you need help, you got a temper problem or whatever, nothing wrong with asking God to help you, because your heart got to be right. So even some things children of God go through, you got to make sure your heart is right. Job was mad. He cursed the day that he was born. He hated that he was a lot of stuff. He didn't sin with his mouth. A lot of things that he said, he was what we would call disgusted. He wished he had never been born, but because it's rough going through things. That's the way we feel as people. Sometimes you go through things, you wish you could just go hide. You don't want to face people. But see, we got to remember what the word of the Lord says. Be content, you know, marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but adulterers and whoremongers, God will judge. So it says about be not covetousness, you know, don't be we shouldn't be covet what other people have. Anyway, I'm going to go to that scripture so I can read it. So just like we were saying, you don't supposed to covet things that people have or lust after things that people have. Some people, they don't want a wife. They want your wife. So how foolish is that? And God is not playing with this garbage, what is going on with people. But anyway, the quote that I wanted to read, he was saying, remember them that are in bonds, and bound, as bound with them, which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. In other words, you messing around with somebody else's wife, God going to judge you. You are adulterer. You messing around with somebody that ain't your husband, you are an adulterer. You messing around with somebody that ain't your wife, you are a whoremonger, is what you are. So he says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. And here's what I wanted to key in on. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Here's the connection. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So you can be bold. You can stand fast. You can realize that you're born again. God is with you. And you can't let the devil try to make you fear. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. In other words, you've got to mature. That is what the word perfect in the Bible is talking about, maturity. So so many say that. None of us perfect. None of us perfect. God wouldn't tell you to do something that he knew you couldn't do. Many times he said, be perfect. So we got to understand biblical terminology. So today, that's just a little food for thought before we move on into our lesson. And just always used to have a saying that when I did prison ministry, I always try to tell as much as I can every time I get a chance. People want to hear not what you think. They want to hear what the Bible said. And so that is what is so important. Sometimes people are envious. Sometimes people are jealous. They might make mention about somebody quoting a scripture or whatever. Then sometimes they say that because they can't do it. But God has given people gifts and talents. Every man's got to abide in the calling wherewith he is called, as saith the Apostle Paul. So today we want to talk about we're still talking about the Godhead and the deity of the one God, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the Almighty God, who was God Almighty back there, who was he appeared unto Abraham and Isaac and Jacob by the name of God Almighty, Exodus 6:3. But by my name Jehovah, he says, was I not made known unto them. Like I've said before, after you leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah any more in the Bible. So we know Jehovah, Jesus is Jehovah, who has become our salvation. So all the glory, all the honor goes unto him. So he had to take on that office of sonship, because the spirit hath not a body. Spirit don't have flesh and bone. So when he got up, he had a new body. So he got up, he was the first fruits of them that slept. Then come to the end when he shall put down all reign, all rule and authority, excuse me. He's got to reign till he put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So he got up, we're going to get up, just like he did. So he had to take on a body to shed blood. Like he said, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. Yes, he pulled back the curtain from Genesis to Revelation. He said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Took away the first that he may establish the second. It was fought in the old covenant. That's why he had to establish a new covenant upon better promises. And that's what the book of Hebrews is all about. The one key word is better in the book of the Hebrews. So we thank God for his word. So today we're talking out of Psalm. The patriot David says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? So we've been talking about that earlier. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? There's two questions that basically saying the same thing. So even I think someone had a saying. They said, there is nothing to fear but fear. So I've met devils here and sometime this year that I've never met before. And you can't be afraid. You got to realize God is with you. So there's things I got to face, and I'm not backing down in the name of Jesus. I already bound and cursed devils ahead of time. That, in other words, just like what Elisha did, those children mocked him, said, thou bald head, in the book of Kings. These bears came out of the woods, two she-bears, and tore 40 and two of those children in pieces. Elisha, they mocked him and called him baldhead. He turned, and the Bible said that he cursed them in the name of the Lord. So we don't necessarily do that just like what he did then, but the church does have binding and loosing power. People don't even know. So he said, whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. That means exactly what it says. So I've already bound some folks in the name of Jesus. I bound them already according to the word of God. So you got to believe God means what he says. He got your back. You're in the right. No devil. And the whole, like I said before, the whole mind game is out of the hellhole itself. It's nothing but a mind game. Like somebody said, don't let the devil blow your mind. Somebody said, only the strong survive. So you better call on the name of Jesus. You lying devil, you might as well get away from me. I curse you in the name of Jesus. That means evil. I'm talking about the devil himself. I'm not talking about people. He's a piece of trash, and he's a thief. He cometh for nothing but to steal, to kill, and destroy. You got to realize you're in a spiritual warfare. Weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The second Corinthians, the 10th chapter, casting down imaginations, bringing into obedience every high thought that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. So you got to realize who you're dealing with. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And realize what we are dealing with. So we're dealing with devils, little devils, and the big devil. So we got to rebuke them in the name of Jesus. And the devil don't want you to know that. He wants you to be afraid and not say anything, but he is a liar. So you got to realize who you're dealing with. So he goes on here, when the wicked, even mine enemies. So there are some wicked people. See, some people think it's funny. They laughing and they try to call you a liar and all of that. They know you're living right. Your life condemns them, and they can't blow your mind. Because sometimes we just go along with things people say. Then at times we fire back. So you got to be just like that's what James said. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So there's a time you just listen and you fire back. Sometimes people try to call you ruthless and have all kinds of things to say about you. You got to fire back, like, the nerve of him saying that. So here we go here. So he said, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. So we'll be dealing with some stuff nowadays. They come upon you to eat up your flesh. I mean, the devil is you got to know who he is and what he is about. So he is not playing. You got to realize God is not playing, and you as a child of God, you don't have to be playing either. So he says, though an host should camp against me, and my heart, though an host should camp against me, my heart shall not fear. You've got to get to the place where you are not afraid. And so he says, though war should rise against me, and this will I be confident. War? I'm telling you, we are in spiritual warfare is what we are in. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 6th chapter, Ephesians. We got to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In other words, his schemes, his tricks. So Paul says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So you got to realize what you are dealing with. So this is why that he tells us what we have to do, that we got to put on the whole armor of God when we're dealing with this stuff, because this stuff is no joke. That devil means to destroy you. So the ultimate, what he does to people, when he gets somebody to lose all hope, they commit suicide. He wins when he does that. So if the devil kill me, he haven't won. That's why I'm saved. And nobody going to get out of here alive. That's the worst thing he can do to a child of God. And that's why Jesus said, don't fear him that can kill the body, but he said, fear him that is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. So what is he saying? Fear him. Fear God. So you're not going around shaking in your bootstraps. You fear God out of a reverential fear. You reverence him because you love him and you want to do what is right. See, the devil want to shut you up because he don't want to. Because this is no joke. People think it's funny. People have been married many times, just doing all kinds of things. And I mean, so stupid how people do. The reflection is on you. You've been married, I don't know how many times, and a person's been married once, and then maybe to you, they lost somebody or whatever. I mean, how stupid is that? Who got credibility? You don't. Everybody else is not crazy. Sometimes people don't want to look in the mirror and look at their own self. So he goes on here talking about, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Next verse, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So you got to protect that heart, protect that front part. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, and supplications for all saints. In other words, we're praying all the time. I'm rebuking devils when my mouth ain't open. I know how to pray without opening my mouth. So you never stop doing that. So I was in court with this landlord thing, and the lawyer came back and told me something, and then say, oh, yeah, I roll up my sleeves in the spirit and prayed. And so I had to get that thing resolved, and I knew what I was up against and did get it resolved. So this is no joke. We're dealing with a rebellious devil. He knows his end is a lake of fire, but he wants to take everybody there that he can take with him. So he says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek. The Lord, that's the same one that was back there in the beginning, is my point. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. He goes on to say, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. So what are you talking about? Time of trouble, God hiding me. So he said, my head being lifted up above my enemies round about me. I'm telling you, we're in spiritual warfare. And like I said, the sad part about it, too many times, now you really got to watch it, because the person that's closest to you can turn on you and be your enemy. That's what happened to Jesus. He said, my own familiar friend has lifted up his heel against me. That is talking about Judas. I can't believe sometimes I hear people say, but Judas could have been saved and all that. No, no way Judas could have been saved. If you know what the Bible said, Jesus said, none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. You can't make a statement like that. Judas could never be saved. He was the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. The foreknowledge of God knew that Judas was going to be a betrayer. He betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. You got to realize who he is and what Jesus said. What you do, do it quick. When he went out, now is, you know, how he came in, Satan entered in, Judas went out and realized what he'd done and hang himself. But he was a betrayer. He was a deceiver. He was a traitor. He was the treasurer. You got to know who he was. So he wasn't honest with himself. So he said, have not I chosen 12 of you, and one of you is a devil. That's what Jesus said. So you got to know what the word of God said. You cannot be afraid. So he goes on here. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. This is a prayer. Thou saidest, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. I just read that. He's not going to leave you or forsake you, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We know this is back in the Old Testament. This is a prayer that he is praying. He said, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. They're going to leave you one day. You're going to grow up. Your parents are going to get old and pass away. So he says, teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. So notice what he's saying. You got some enemies. So I need you to lead me, Lord. I'm not talking about some fake God. I'm talking about the true and the living God. And his name is Jesus. I'm not talking about putting on a show. But I'm talking about, sure enough, asking God for help, realizing you need help. So he says, teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me not over to the will of my enemies, For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Why should you be shocked? Because somebody lied on you. People lie on people because that gives them an excuse to do what they want to do. And I've heard somebody say that. If this happens, I can do what I want to do. So what's in a person's heart is coming out. People want to do what they want to do. They lied on you. But the devil is a deceiver. They don't even realize that. The devil will make a fool out of you, have you out there looking stupid. And the other person who you're trying to damn and accuse of something, they're walking upright. The devil will make a monkey out of you is what he'll do, make a fool out of you. That old term, old people used to say that. He'll make a monkey out of you. You might as well put a banana in your mouth and start turning flips, because that's what the devil will do, make a fool out of you is what he'll do. So he goes on, I had fainted lest I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It's the same Lord that we keep talking about. There's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. The same Lord God that came walking after Adam in the cool of the evening and said, Adam, where art thou? The same Lord back there in the beginning, who stretched out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. The same Lord. So he goes on to say, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And at the name of Jesus, every knee has got to bow. Every tongue has got to confess. That's what Jesus said. Many shall say to me, Lord, Lord, in that day, have we done this? Have we done many wonderful works? Cast out devils and did this and that in thy name? He says, I profess unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. So you want to come on and get baptized, repent of your sins, get baptized in the name of Jesus, get filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's called the apostolic way. You want him to know you, because else you can just go ahead and have church without the Lord. It'd be like in the third chapter of the book of the Revelation, 3:20, Jesus was standing at the door knocking, saying, behold, if any man open the door and come in, I'll come in with him and sup with him and he with me. In other words, he wasn't even in the church. And he's talking about your heart. So you want to be right in the sight of God. So we thank God for this time, and we'll talk to you more about his word on the next time. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.